Hey, what's up? This is John Norris, and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network.
In some of my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Whiskey's Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Today is May 29th, 2012. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43. We've got an interesting show tonight brought to you by GreatBrewers.com. GreatBrewers.com is your online connection to the world of craft beer. Learn about beer styles and take the great beer test to challenge your beer IQ, and find out about Beer Cloud, a mobile app to help you locate your favorite beer, store tasting notes, and get beer and food pairing ideas. Again, GreatBrewers.com brings the American beer community together. We're also supported by the people at the Good Beer Seal, an association of 34 New York City bars that serve, promote, and support good beer. Check out GoodBeerSeal.com. And coming up June 11th at Jimmy's Number 43, it'll be the annual Good Beer Seal Awards. We're going to find out which beer bars from the five boroughs will be added to the list. And on that note, we'll be talking with some beer industry guys here tonight. We've got Andrew McLeod from Union Beer and Corey Bonfilio from Proletariat, a very cool new beer bar in the East Village. How are you guys?
Good. How you doing, Jimmy?
You guys are pretty cool. You're representing what I think of as some of the more knowledgeable and experienced guys in the very, very cool New York City craft beer scene. Andrew, how did you get started? You're a manager at Union Beer. How did you ever get started working in beer?
I came down to New York to be an actor, and I found out that that's not very lucrative if you're not extremely talented. So I just... I was doing a couple shows up in New Hampshire, and I was just sick of waiting tables and bartending. I mean, it was a good time for a while, but just sick of getting out at 4 o'clock in the morning and all that stuff. So I went onto Craigslist, and I saw an ad under sales, and I sent my resume in, and then I got hired the next day. Don't know why they hired me. I guess they interviewed pretty well, but at that time, that was with Union Beer that I'm with right now. We have a pretty large craft portfolio. We also sell Budweiser in Brooklyn, and I started out on a route in Brooklyn, which had one Sierra Nevada Pale Ale line, and that was my only craft beer line for about a year. Then I kind of worked my way up to, I'd say, more of the craft-centric territories in Brooklyn, like Williamsburg and Park Slope. And I was always into drinking beer, not specifically drinking good beer, but drinking beer. And I think now a lot of the people that get into the beer industry are people that are enthusiastic about beer, that really want to work in beer. I just wanted a job, and the job got me excited about craft beer. And just the fact that I was selling it every single day and talking about it every night at the bars, it got me really excited. And I really started out doing this job just to make some money to continue acting, which I'm still doing.
What were some of the brands that you liked when you first got started?
When I first got started, I knew Sierra Nevada because I grew up in California. I was a big fan of, Lagunitas IPA. I was trying so many different things, and at that point, I had some bars that were doing a lot of European beers, just international beers in general. Sam Smith, Hitachino White, Aventinas, Bitburger. So I just kind of got this kind of baptism by fire in regards to tasting every single genre and type of beer. But still to this day, Sierra Nevada is one of my top favorite beers. That's my desert island beer.
All right. Well, I bet you have a lot of stories to tell us. Like, and you're actually running this, territory in Manhattan.
Yeah.
You've got sales reps, there's trucks, there's deliveries. But how many deliveries a day get made in your territory?
It's tough to say. I mean, I do on-premise Manhattan, so that's all the bar, that's the industry term for all the bars and restaurants, anywhere where the beverage is consumed on the premises. And there's another guy who does, grocery stores, bodegas, and so on and so forth. I'd say per day, you probably have between 300 and 500 deliveries go out.
So it takes a lot of work to get those really good bars to my place and Corey's Proletariat on St. Mark's.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're lucky. If we're lucky, we get two deliveries a week, and then this time with a sales rep, and so there's a lot of support for this really great craft beer movement in New York, and it comes from you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the whole thing about being a wholesaler is, you know, it's selling craft beer, it's embracing craft beer, but you're also, you know, there's so much logistics involved, just like a brewery, and you know, good bars that we do really well with, or just any bar whatsoever. I mean, I'll get them beer whenever they need it, day or night, if I can do it. But when your reps are, they're selling beer, they're also selling logistics, like, hey, trucks in this neighborhood on this day, would you mind taking beer on this day? And if not, I mean, business comes first, supporting people with craft beer comes first, and that's what we try to promote. And I don't like to see an empty line, and no one likes to go to a bar where their favorite beer is down. So we do what we need to do to get people beer, you know, when they need it.
All right. And Corey, you've been working in the industry for a number of years as well. You used to work at the Whole Foods beer store on Bowery.
Yes, sir.
And then you were working at Cannibal, which you helped open, mm-hmm. Which is a great spot owned by Resto. What was that like? You know, were you part of setting that bar up?
No, there's a guy who actually works for Union right now named Ryan Kincannon, a really good guy. He kind of came and took me out of my last job from Rattle and Hum, said he had a great opportunity, and I was really excited to work with him because he's super American craft beer centric, and he really knows his stuff, and he's a really nice guy, and I thought the two of us together would be pretty unstoppable. So he actually wound up taking off just before I started.
I think I stole him, right?
Yeah, exactly. He works for Union now, which is great. So I was upset that we didn't get to work together, but at the same time, I had carte blanche to kind of run wild and fill those coolers as I saw fit.
So what were some of the things that you did at Cannibal that made it stand out? I've only heard good things about it.
Sure. You know, the food was already there, and there was a lot of great beer, but I think it was just kind of expanding these existing relationships with producers and, you know, distributors, importers, people like this, the community in general, and helping that part to become a part of the New York community.
And now you're at Proletariat.
That's right.
St. Mark's.
Sure.
Tell us more about that, because that's one of my favorite new beer bars.
Yeah, really cool spot, tucked behind Jane's Sweet Buns over on St. Mark's, between 1st and A. And rare, new, and unusual beer is kind of all we do, which is really fun. So it's not to say that you can't go there and throw down a good old pale ale, but at the same time, you know, if you want to be challenged and you want to talk to people that know what they're doing and what's hot, what's new, what's really cool. And so what's fun is that...
And what are some of the beers on draft this week?
Oh, that's funny you asked me that right now, because I haven't been there in a little while. I've been away. You know, I know we just... I know we ran through the Midnight Sun Sockeye Red IPA, which is really fun, coming from Alaska. Hopefully we have some more of that coming in. You know, we have a pretty great bottle collection as well, so that's always turning over, and it's all international and all really fun. A lot of great American stuff as well, and so it's a really fun spot.
I was there a couple weeks ago. I really liked it. It's a small bar. You get interesting mm-hmm. selections. Yeah, I'm really, really impressed with it.
Thanks very much.
And what did you bring us today to try?
I brought a couple things. I brought the, what is this, Cambridge Brewing Company Sergeant Pepper Farmhouse Ale, brewed with rye, malt, and peppercorns, courtesy of James Ty, good friend of mine. Really, really nice stuff. Pretty spicy.
James, if you're into Twitter, we're the @beer_sessions. That's our radio handle. And James Ty, he's a really cool guy. I have a feeling he's going to end up being an investor in like 10 breweries in the world.
He's on his way.
He's checking things out. He's @beeracolyte. So if you want to check out @beeracolyte,
yeah, he's the man.
James Ty. He knows a lot. He's studied, and he's very quiet about his beer knowledge.
He sure is, and he'll deny it to the end of the earth. But he's the reason that I have the discerning palate that I do. Because we work together at Whole Foods, and I learned so much from him. And I do appreciate that.
So if you're Twittering now, just Twitter @beeracolyte and say, hey, we heard about you on @beer_sessions. Isn't that so weird that I'm talking about Twitter on the radio? another guy's here today. Harris, I don't even know how to pronounce your last name.
Damashek.
I met you because you've got a cool new site called undergroundeats.com.
That's right.
But the reason we got you on the show is you convinced me...
I'm not here in that capacity.
...that you're part of the Sonoma Springs Brewing Company.
Yeah, I'm a part owner of Sonoma Springs Brewing Company, but the company itself is run by my best friend from college. We started brewing together just after college, and he went on to become just an amazing brewer, working at a lot of places like... Lagunitas and Goose Island, Firestone Walker, Russian River, and he's finally struck out on his own, and I knew his beer was top notch, so I signed on board and helping him get the brewery off the ground, and things are starting to happen. He does some really interesting things with beer that not a lot of people are doing, particularly in California.
And Andrew, in your capacity at Union Beer, do you ever weigh in on which beers you guys might pick up to distribute in New York?
Yeah, I do weigh in.
Should talk. No.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, they're pretty. I'd say the upper management at Union Beer, it's a relatively young company, and they're very big on getting the younger guys really involved in the process of talking to breweries and identifying brands that are really going to benefit from being in New York City, and the city is really going to benefit from having those brands here. And it's tough because there's so many brands out there. And when you go to the Craft Brewers Conference and you hear the numbers of how many breweries are being developed right now, and just in the development phase, it's really staggering. But I don't know if that was the right word for that, but it's huge. So we do play a part in it, and it can be kind of tough. You try to figure out. I think New York is such a competitive market that you really need to come here at the right time. And it's a hard thing to say, but you kind of have one chance to make it in a market like this. And, you might do well in your home market or something like that, and you come to New York, and it can be tough, just because if you go to any Whole Foods or places like the Cannibal, or you just see how competitive the beer market is and how many different brands are in each store. But I think most of the brands that have come here have done very well, not just with my wholesaler, but the other wholesalers out there that have been great about identifying other brands out there and bringing them to the market. I think all of us collectively as a wholesaler community have done a good job of really finding the right places to put those beers.
And do you like all the bars that you sell to?
I like every single bar that I sell to. I like every single bar that I don't sell to.
Because I know sometimes you have to be a hard ass too. It's a hard business. I mean, it is hard business. You know,
It's not an easy business. When I got into this business, my dad, who's been in the beverage industry for a long time on the non-alcoholic side, he's like, when you get into a wholesaler, everything is going against you. He's like, you got to assume everything's going to go wrong, and when it does, assume it's all your fault. And it probably isn't, but it might as well be. Which was really positive advice and got me very motivated. But it's a lot of attention to detail.
You guys do all the stuff that nobody wants to do. You've got trucks, you've got drivers, deliveries, warehousing.
Right. The thing is that you got to figure out, okay, you like drinking this beer at a bar. And this is funny. I was talking to a doctor, my friend's husband, at this beer garden over in Jersey this weekend. And he came up to me. He's like, do you understand that all the beer's underground here? I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, it's all underground, and this system of tubes brings it up to the taps. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, where'd you think all the kegs were? That's how a bar works. And I'm like, you're a doctor. It's just like, but just these very intelligent people, it's just, to them, it's a mystery. They go and they get beer out of the tap, and they see beer on the shelf. And, I mean, if you're not in the industry, why would you know? But you don't know how it gets there, what it takes to get there. And I mean, there could be a lot of bars that want a certain product, and a container gets held up in customs, and you can't get it.
And what about Corey? So at Proletariat, how is your spot set up? Because you have a really small bar. Like, where is the draft system?
It's all direct draw, so it's all just beneath the taps themselves, which is really cool. It bears a lot of headache.
So you mean built into the bar are the refrigerators?
Yeah, they're just beneath it. Yeah, exactly. Which is great. So we have 10 drafts, 10 draft beers. We have two in-house draft cocktails, which is really fun. Beer cocktails, which are always kind of cycling and rotating like the drafts are. And
all right, man. And Harris, for you, is there any glamour in being part of a brewery that's in California?
If there was distribution out here, things would be a little bit more glamorous. Instead, I have to, kind of skirt certain aspects of the law to get it delivered so that we can all taste it here today. But
let's talk after the show.
Yeah, exactly.
We can taste any beer on the radio show.
Exactly.
You're not breaking
You'll never find me. No.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, this is a good little introduction to the guys on the show today. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back and talk more about the world of craft beer on Beer Sessions Radio.
Well, I can't read, can't write. Gonna buy
All right. Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I've got Andrew McLeod from Union Beer, Harris Damashek from is that right? Say your name.
You got it. No, you got it.
From Sonoma Spring Brewing Company and Corey Bonfilio from Proletariat, the new cool beer bar in the East Village.
Yo.
All right. Beer Sessions Radio, sponsored by GreatBrewers.com. Now's the time to get into questions. We also got two in-studio guests, our buddy Garen Baker and his friend Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
From England. It's their second week in a row visiting New York. How are you guys?
Well, a lot has changed in a week. Last week, I was so happy to be here. And now, a week on, I just feel broken by this city, completely broken by it. We've drank so much. It's been incredible, but I just feel completely broken.
So what were some of the, I would say, the biggest nights out you had in the city so far?
Wow. We've had a lot of big nights in this city. Saturday night, we spent a lot of time in your bar, actually, Jimmy. And we had a great time at the Five Boroughs Picnic, sampling a few different beers from around the way. But yeah, it's been a great trip, but broken men.
And you went to Spite and Dive, right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
And Steve, so I'm just giving a shout out. Garen has been a big fan of Beer Sessions Radio, and he listens in UK all the time. And Steve, they decided that he's taking his bachelor party here.
Yeah,
New York.
So. Exactly.
Okay, now everybody's on air. Woo! We can talk about this guy. All right. So, I don't usually like to ask what your first beer was, because in America it often means that you had a 40-ouncer in high school or something. But in England, I'm hoping for more. So, Garen and Steve, when you were growing up, what was the first beer you had that you liked?
When I was growing up, my friends used to take the piss out of me. Sorry, I don't know if I can swear on it. Sorry. They used to take the piss out of me when I was... we'd go out down a park when you're young drinking, and they'd be drinking cheap cider and I'd be drinking Feakston's Old Peculiar. That was one of my first favourite beers. Love Sam Smith as well. Beers like that, proper, like, essential, what I call it, like Fuller's ESB is a really kind of good British beer. If I was to say
stock British beers, exactly right. Yeah. I mean, this guy here is partly the reason that I ever drank a beer in the first place. We regret hugely. But yeah, it's unglamorous.
Harris, where did you grow up, man?
I grew up in the suburbs just north of the city in Chappaqua, small town.
You've got I feel like you are a well-rounded dude.
Oh, I appreciate that.
So what was the first beer that you ever had that you really liked?
I'm about to let you down. It was probably the Silver Bullet, but that was high school. I think the first beer that I fully appreciated when I started to appreciate beer, it's got to go back again to Sierra Nevada, which was, always and still one of my favorites. So that was the first that kind of made me understand beer was something else to do other than just drink six of them.
Well, let's talk about Sierra Nevada, because it's exciting. They're opening in North Carolina. Now, is that a good move? I mean, why would a brewery want to open on the East Coast instead of just keep making beer and shipping it?
I think it's actually a good move. I don't think it's a good move for every single brewery, and I think some breweries, not talking about anyone specifically, but maybe expanding a little too quick. Just from our looking at the numbers, we're on double-digit growth right now, which is great. But just like any market, it is going to slow down at some point, and you don't want to overextend yourself. I think with Sierra Nevada, that is the number one craft brewery that brews everything out of one brewery. For them to be shipping beer, we get 5 trucks a week from Sierra Nevada that has to come all the way from Chico, California.
So they have to drive the beer from California to New York.
Well, I think I would actually have – they drive it to Chicago, and then it goes by rail from there. And I might be completely wrong on that, and my bosses will, cut my pay.
This is the inside stories we want to hear about.
But, I was surprised. I mean, because our daily rate, and we always go off daily rates, how many kegs or how many CEs you do of case equivalents you do of Sierra Nevada a day is crazy. And we need a truck almost every single day. It takes about 5 days to get out here. And I think in their position, they've established such a good reputation for themselves that regardless of what happens to the craft beer industry, and I think it will continue to grow, they will be around, and I think it's the right time for them to expand.
Corey, what was the first beer you really liked?
The first beer that really opened my eyes to more than just Bud was Franz's Connor. I was at some whatever beer bar on Long Island where I'm from, and someone else got it, and it looked really pretty, so I got one as well, and I just kind of sat back and said, you got to be kidding me, man. This is beer? I don't know this. What is this? So, that kind of got the wheels turning. And then, coming up through Whole Foods certainly exposed me to just more brands than I can imagine, and then helping build the Bowery store, of course, having, you know, essentially a blank check to just fill shelves and build more shelves and fill those as well, was really, really incredible. And that opened me up to so much and so many brands and so many people. And
so it's like anything. It takes a while to develop your palate. You have to taste a lot, which can cost money. You know,
yeah,
I think it's hard to just be a consumer and develop, you know, a real appreciation of beer unless you're just drinking every night like we are.
Although, well, if it turns out that you're on Christmas, that's about it.
Yeah,
you know, the same way everyone goes to wineries and does tastings. I think, you know, a lot more people are going to breweries. You know, people who are into it, and you know, I think that's a great way to see the product, get to know the people who make it, and I think that's a cool thing about.
So how did you get involved with Sonoma Springs?
Yeah, so like I said, right out of after college, I was unemployed for a small spell and looking for something fun to do, and I went to a real tiny microbrewery called Brewing Company Number 9 in Chicago, just down the road from Goose Island, and started working there and hired my best friend from college, and we worked there together. And he was a engineering major and became, you know, this unbelievable beer guy, a fermentation scientist, more or less. And so he quickly eclipsed me. I could make beer at the time, probably not anymore, and had a great time. But he really took it on and became a career. And I believed in the beers that he made because he makes just some unbelievable beers.
You know, I'm impressed with you're really seriously representing this brewery because you were coming on the show and you sent us notes, and you just didn't just send us a few notes about the brewery. You gave us detailed information about each beer. Now, did you bring any of the beers today?
I actually did. I've got about, I think, five or six.
You were able to get those across state lines. It wasn't a problem.
Yeah, with a little help of you know, our postal service, anything's possible.
So which beers have you been? You gave me notes on.
So we've got a Daedalus, which is the Daedalus is a Rogan beer, Bavarian Weiss beer made with 35% rye. So it's got a lot of interesting. And then to add insult to injury, it's also aged in rye casks for 3 months as well. So he does a lot of really interesting stuff.
That sounds pretty cool.
With regard to that, which is a big seller there.
That's a really cool style of beer. It's a really fun style of beer
yeah.
that not a lot of people are even considering, you know.
Especially in Northern California, where everybody wants, you know, a giant hoppy IPA.
Right.
He kind of goes, he zags when everyone else zigs, which I think is kind of nice, especially in wine country, because...
Corey, have you had a Rogan beer before?
Sure, yeah. The easiest to find around here is probably Bear Republic, who do a really, really great traditional version of it. I think it's pretty... Is it low ABV? Am I mixing it with something else? It may be. It's just really tasty, and the rye influence
is... That's also from California.
Yeah, Northern California.
But you've never had a German Rogan beer.
And this one's
No, I have not.
5.9%.
And it's just really pretty label, man.
Let's pop that.
It looks like a... Yeah, let's pop this.
Corey, what did you pour before that?
That was the White Birch Hop Session Ale.
That was nice.
Which is really, really tasty, man. Really easy going.
New Hampshire, yeah. We've had Bill on. Bill Hurley,
really?
The brewery. We've
cool.
got him on a couple times.
Yeah. Super hop forward and kind of leaning off of the Belgian influence, but really tasty, you know. What I dig about this this Daedalus...
Let's pour it. Come on.
Yeah, let's pour it up. Is that it looks like... It looks like one of those really tiny, like, Belgian producer ales, you know?
Right.
Doing the labels in their garage, doing the beer in their basement. Mm. That kind of stuff that you see from all the best importers, you know?
And Tim's a bit of a purist. He doesn't... He's not a fan of filtering if it's not necessary.
Perfect.
And he's, you know, he loves to do it kind of straightforward way in that respect.
All right, so the Sonoma Springs Brewing Company Daedalus, and it's only available in California, or is it only available at the brewery?
It's only available in California. It's primarily in and around the Sonoma area at a bunch of bars and great restaurants and things around there. We actually just went into the new Avroco restaurant that's going to be opening in Napa in a couple of months, which is pretty exciting as well. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. Things are expanding, but it's primarily just within that area right now.
So do you think there's as much a market for, like, boutique small breweries as there is for boutique wineries?
I think so, especially in Sonoma. You know, I mean, so many people go through Sonoma and Napa every year. Not all of those people can totally just only be into wine. And to be honest, after a day of wine tasting, all I want is a beer. So I think there's there's a lot of opportunity in that respect. And, you know, he treats wine the same way that they, or treats beer the same way that they treat wine and food, with a lot of respect, using the best ingredients and local ingredients whenever possible. And, you know, I think it fits right in with the culture out there.
Corey, what do you think about this beer, the Sonoma Springs Daedalus? It has like a fruity finish.
Sure. It's really pretty. I like how, the barrel aging is definitely the rye barrel aging is influential, certainly, but it's not overwhelming. And
it's 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, I almost feel this to be more of a Belgian style than a German style, perhaps.
Absolutely.
But certainly nothing wrong with that. I mean, breaking the rules is more fun than anything else.
He's a big fan of some wild yeast, and creates a lot of esters and you know, crazy flavors like that, banana, cloves, all of that stuff.
Sure, sure.
Andrew, at Union Beer, you guys import... Well, you have importers bringing you a lot of beers as well.
We do.
Is there a German style have you seen a Rogan beer from Germany? I've never even heard of the style before.
Honestly, man, this is the first one I've had, and I might have had it before, but this is a fantastic beer. I mean, if I've had it before, it's the first one that stood out to me. I'm not a huge fan of sweet beers, but it's subtle enough. Like, the sweetness is subtle enough, where it's just more sessionable, and you get the qualities you do from some Belgian beers, but it's the alcohol content's kind of at a medium level, so it's not too boozy.
Yeah, I think it's 6.7, so it's manageable, you know.
And for people like us, that's very sessional.
Not much.
We may want to save that one for last, because it's just a lambic. It might explode.
I can't tell these were shipped because they're like stuck and I can't pull them out. Yeah. Okay, Andrew, back to beer business.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, somebody pull these out and open them. But so you guys, and you get beers driven across country from California, but you also get beers coming in from Europe.
Right.
How do they get from Europe to New York?
Well, I mean, I'd say all of it's done by container ship for the most part. So just like a lot of other products come over from Europe or any other country, is basically on a container ship. And the issue with that, it's which is a struggle, and
we're pulling these bottles out of styrofoam that have been shipped from California by the air freight.
The biggest struggle, and I really commend, and these guys don't get a ton of accolades or anything, but the gentlemen who really, or the individuals that really deal with our inventory and ordering all these beers in from Europe and predicting how much we're going to go through, it's a 6 week lead time to get something from Europe. So you got a container ship coming from Germany, comes here, goes to Jersey, sits on the dock until it gets released, gets here. And these guys have to maintain this flow of beer coming in when the market's unpredictable. And you might have a beer that your daily rate on it is a keg a day. All of a sudden it gets popular. It goes up to 9 kegs a day. And, you know, you can't speed up a container ship. So those are the struggles you really have to deal with. And when you deal with a bigger portfolio like we have, you're dealing with a lot of brands. I think I would say that I'm surprised we don't make more mistakes than we do. We're pretty seamless as far as getting beer out. And you might have a different opinion on that, but I think we do a very good job of keeping things in stock.
I've always been very impressed.
I really appreciate that. And it's tough. And when you look at the warehouse and you look at the amount of beer that's there, and any of the other wholesalers that we're dealing with, it's just they've really got it down to a science on how to, because as you know, Jimmy, and you know, it's New York is a demanding market. People want things yesterday. So to say it's not going to be here for 14 days.
People like Jimmy and myself.
You guys are lovely to work with and very patient. But you got to have an answer for them. And,
I want Harris. I'm really upset. I want my Sonoma Springs beer tomorrow.
I think we're going to make it happen.
I'll find a way to make it happen. We're going to make something happen tonight.
I love it.
Look at this. Beer business. This is like, wow. Hey, let's just take a short break. We'll be back in a moment here on Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network.
Talk to listening to Buck Owens. Do, 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 looking out my back door. Tambourines and elephants are playing.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. HeritageRadioNetwork.org. It's now a 501c3. So before you know it, you'll be asked to be a member, and you should be, because guys like us would not be on the air without your support. We've got friends from UK, Michigan, California. HeritageRadioNetwork.org really reaches a lot of people, and we're really proud to be the beer show on the network. And we're here at Roberta's in Bushwick, an awesome restaurant known for more than their pizza. And we always stay after our show, and we have dinner. And anytime you're in town, come to Roberta's on a Tuesday at 6 o'clock, and you can have dinner with us. Garrett and Steve, they came all the way from England to sit on the show and have dinner with us. So.
Beautiful. Yeah, the food here is gorgeous. Yeah, really nice. It's good night.
Okay, now we get to the next question. Brett Thompson had been our guest coordinator for a number of years, and he's moving, I think, tomorrow to Seattle. So cheers to Brett. He did a great job helping out put the show together.
He actually worked for me as well. It's another guy I stole from somebody. And no, he's a great guy. And we're sad to see him go.
He sent in a question. We can do an email question if you want, beersessions@gmail.com. The question is for the guests here tonight is, what is your favorite beer book? And we're going to start with Andrew.
I'm studying to take the Cicerone Level 2 test, and it's going to be difficult, and it's a lot of studying, but we were told to read this book called Tasting Beer, I'm working my way.
Randy Mosher, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I think he teaches at the Siebel Institute in Chicago, doesn't he?
Yes, absolutely. And the thing was that when you're around beer and you're talking about beer for, 16 hours a day coming home and reading a book about beer, I mean, it might not be the ideal thing you want to do. But when I picked it up and I read the first, I think it was just a prologue to the book, I'm like, oh, this is like really interesting. This guy's like, this is a great writer. It's technical, but it doesn't take you out of like the story of beer. And like a lot of people have said, like, to understand the story of mankind, you got to understand the story of beer. So
love it.
I dig it. It's great.
So do you think, is Cicerone program becoming a standard for guys in the beer industry?
I think it will be, and I think you spoke about it earlier. It's a beer to a lot of restaurants that had fine food and fine wine was an afterthought, and we still see that in a lot of restaurants. And now I think, and thanks to places that as a Corey work at and develop, it's when you see these high end restaurants and well respected restaurants really pouring great beer and putting thought into that, just like they do into their food, just like they do into their wine, it really elevates where beer is in the culture. And so, like, wine has sommeliers, beer is going to have Cicerones, and that's the way it's going to go. And the test is going to be difficult, but I'm going to figure it out, man.
Well, let's make a toast to you, mate. All right.
Cheers.
Cool. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
And Corey, what is your favorite beer book, or one of your favorite beer books?
Man, I got to say, a couple of staples for a lot of us, Great Beers of Belgium, of course, and Beers of the World. Michael Jackson. just, that was it, man. That's kind of the
Corey,
pinnacle right there.
I know that many of us in the room know who Michael Jackson, the beer writer, was. But why don't you tell us a little bit about him? Because not everyone knows of him.
There was almost a silver lining, I guess you could say, when after he's died. And even now, far on as we are, when you speak of him and use his name, like, we all get it and we all nod in approval, sure. But a lot of people look at you and you're like, what?
Well, it's because they're thinking of the moonwalk.
Of course, right. So that's the best part, is kind of like explaining that whole conversation. But
I had no idea that guy was into beer.
He was just the utmost beer.
Michael Jackson, the performer, was the closeted beer drinker. But then there's Michael Jackson, the beer writer.
The writer, of course, who, the greatest voice on beer. One of those people that writes as he speaks, which I always love, like Garrett Oliver as well, I have to say. You meet the man and you're like, oh my God, I've read the book and I hear it in your voice now. It's brilliant. Michael Jackson was the same way. And a brilliant mind about whiskey as well and spirits in general, and incredible. So great beers
of
Belgium.
One of the best palates around, right?
Beyond me, yeah.
Just one thing I want to bring up real quick is, wasn't there a lot of controversy around the fact that he said America was the best place to drink beer?
Yeah, which I think is wonderful. That's a terrific, terrific thing to say, because that's almost, look at the foresight that he had, because he's not even here now to see what's going on, because now it's infinitely better than it was when he said that.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
We've mentioned him, but I'm a big Garrett Oliver fan, and I actually just got to actually meet him for the first time. I've always loved Brooklyn Brewery and everything that they've done, but his books, in terms of pairing with food, and as well as his beer Focus Books. You know, I'm a big Garrett Oliver fan, and Brooklyn Brewery always love it.
Did you like Oxford Companion with the beer?
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing to have him come on board.
I think I'm on page like 25.
Right.
It's one of those books, you know, it's like research.
No rush.
I'm going to read that for like 2 years, and I'll keep reading it. So
it's like the Bible. You kind of get through it eventually.
Well, you know, the one thing great about doing the show is that we actually do get to talk to a lot of beer authors, and I never also thought of, you know, beer as something that people would write about. But you know what? There's better, you know, we got Christian De Benedetti, Josh Bernstein has been on a lot. There's a lot of new guys writing about beer. And
Charlie Banforth, of course.
Charlie Banforth. What's the book that you liked by him?
Grape versus Grain, which is incredible. It's a tiny little book, but every word is just, it's almost mind-numbing in the sense that it's so voluminous and important that you want to know every word. It really goes through history and cultural significance and historical significance, but it also goes into chemistry, but without kind of being too much
Charlie
of a scientist.
Charlie Banforth, he's English.
He is. As was Michael Jackson,
Do you know of him, Garen?
Yeah, heard of him.
He worked at Bass for a long time. And,
that's right, yeah. Yeah. There's a writer I like in England called Pete Brown, who wrote Man Walks Into a Pub, so it's talking about like British culture of beer drinking, trying to get away from that sort of stereotype of the camera kind of camera English guy. So that's a really good book, and I have ordered the Oxford Companion, but I haven't read it yet, but I've ordered that. That's good, because I've always liked hearing him on the show. He's a very interesting guy, so yeah.
You know, it's a good one. All right.
You guys like this Saison?
I like it a lot.
Beautiful, man.
Right.
May I have more, please?
It's a good summer beer. Right. You could drink a fair amount of it, which is nice. It's
this is an exciting.
And I will.
This is one of my favorite parts of being in the beer scene, is that people bringing in all these new breweries.
And, oh, yeah, absolutely.
We talked about last week that, you know, for a while when we started, separate from, there was one side, we'd ask the question, you know, what was your first beer? And a lot of American guys, it was this 40-ouncer. I didn't want to say the name, and I don't want to get into it. But then the other side is also the cult thing, where there's beers that people think of are, you know, you have to have X and Y. I don't want to say the names, but it's also the, you know, scarcity. But then you find out, well, this beer is actually a big brewery in their state, and they just don't ship to certain states.
New Belgium?
Yeah, so in New Belgium, or, you know.
We're third largest craft brewer in the country, and we don't get it in New York. And that's one of those questions that I've fielded at every job I've ever worked, which is, can I have a fat tire? And you're like,
I get
no!
The same thing from customers.
Come on!
But what we do like, though, is discovering, like, in New York now, my favorite new brewery is Carton, and they're based in New Jersey. And
I just had that. I just had it over the weekend.
And
it's really
the boat beer. It's basically a hoppy Kolsch, and they're smart about it. That's my favorite beer right now.
Super good.
And this Sonoma Springs stuff is pretty cool, too.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm glad you guys are enjoying it.
Yeah. Are there any beers that you get to see, Andrew, that don't make it to New York?
Like, yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, just traveling around, you know, we were in Alaska a couple years ago. We were in Seattle just for a few days, and I asked my boss, I'm like, why are we in Seattle? He's like, well, we were in Alaska, and I'd rather not go to Alaska for 2 days and fly back to New York, so let's just hang out and drink beer. That's why I love this job. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great
beers. Are you hiring?
No. I'm always hiring, yeah, man. There's a lot of great beer out there, and some of these breweries, I think, you know, you can grow either way. You can grow fast. You can grow slow. There's no right or wrong way to do it. But I think a lot of the breweries, they want to get big in their home market and then kind of expand from there. And they have a kind of a growth plan. And I think there's just, I'm exposed to a lot of great breweries that have not made it to New York yet. And I hope they do.
What are some, I know you're working, but how about off the record? What are some breweries that you've come across that you would like to see in New York?
Well, if I'm on the radio, then I'm definitely on the record.
All right, let's flip
it. No one's listening.
No, I can say that. I have no problem with that. I was at in Colorado, and I heard from a friend of mine about this brewery called Upslope, and it's a small brewery out there. And I just met up with the guys because I was friends with one of the guy's sisters, and I just said, you know, I emailed them. I'm like, hey, can we catch up for a little bit? And the packaging was great, and they were cool. They had a great reputation, but the beer was, it was really good. It was cool, and they were tiny. They were like self distributing, and I just said, hey, man, this is a long way off, but when you come to New York, give me a buzz. I'd love to show you around, and we'd love to taste some people on your beers. So I think that's one of the ones I would definitely plug. And then Three Heads that we just got down here,
delicious,
great guys. Awesome. I mean,
they're from New York too, right?
Rochester, New York. and they're doing some amazing stuff. And they came down here, and the reception was phenomenal. And just like you said, I'm really into finding interesting breweries, or just and you know, mainly some of the other guys in my company are finding them, but it's us like introducing the market to
it. Okay, so let's go from the fun stuff to the drudgery. Okay, every day there's guys, young guys and women on the street as sales reps for, yep. for distributors like yours. What's like a typical day like for these guys?
What's a day like for these guys?
right now.
I don't know if I want to call it drudgery, but it's, you know, it's I say this in every interview with somebody, because a lot of people come in that are really into beer and they're like, I want to sell beer. I'm like, okay, well, here's what it is. You're up around 9, you're doing your admin hour, you know, emails back and forth with your manager from for about, you know, an hour and a half or so. You're on the street, and this is on-premise when you're selling at bars. You're on the street by 11 because you really can't see anybody before 11 in Manhattan. You have about 125 to 130 accounts you see per week. You see about 25 a day. And when you're in there, you're doing everything from, you know, collecting a check and making sure the tap handles look right, making sure the bottle display's up there, the menu's accurate. But the most important part is it's selling beer. And you have numbers to hit, and you have – I'm not going to get too specific about it, but you have goals to hit, and we are very, very serious about
I'm no longer hitting our numbers. By the way.
I'm really – it's a real tough job.
I think it is. I think it's a tough job, but it has a lot of perks, and it's a growth industry. And throughout the recession, would I say we're recession-proof? No, but I think we were recession-resistant. And we hired a lot of people during the recession, which is great. And I think you have to, if you have a love for sales, which I do, and you just want to make a ton of money, then sell pharmaceuticals is probably not the right industry for you. If you have a love for sales and you have a love for the beer industry and the beverage industry, and there's a certain dynamic in that industry, which is just so fun, and so it's such a sense of community, then it's a fantastic job.
Which, man, I can attest to, because enough of these people that I know and I've you know, created really beautiful friendships with that work for Union Beer and other distributors, really, really care.
Yeah.
And it's very much apparent as soon as you meet them, which is great.
Yeah.
And
I appreciate that.
And Corey, to show how competitive the market is, about how many different distributors do you buy from at Proletariat?
Oh, well, you know, we're still new, so not as many as I'd like to, but there are at least, you know, 8, 9, 10 distributors out there that I want to deal with.
Just in New York City.
Yeah, just to kind of keep up. Sure, just in New York City, and just to keep up with the rare, new, and unusual theme that we're doing. And yeah, it's pretty
great
competitive.
Bar, by the way. Everyone's got to go if you haven't been.
Cheers, man. Thanks.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
And thanks very much. Harris, you're doing some other cool things too with Underground Eats.
Yeah.
Are you doing any special events coming up?
We actually have our launch event coming up on Sunday, which we're really excited about. We've been out there with our website for the last 3 months, but this is kind of our big.
So what is it?
A big party. So we're doing it at...
You said to me 3 times tonight, the launch event Sunday.
I know. So it's at the McKittrick Hotel, if anyone knows of Underground Eats. So our website, undergroundeats.com, where we curate and produce the best alternative dining events in New York. Proudly had tickets for the Five Borough Picnic this weekend, which was unbelievable by all accounts. And this event is at the Sleep No More venue, which is one of the coolest venues in New York, called the McKittrick Hotel. And it's based on the eve of the 1939 World's Fair. So there's a lot of interesting ephemera coming out of that event.
Are there any personalities, chefs that you're working with?
Yeah, Mark Murphy from Landmark and Ditch Plains and on Chopped on the Food Network is going to be our chef, with Michael Serino from A Razor, A Shiny Knife, who's known for doing amazing out of the box.
So you're like a hipster
experience.
Dude.
Oh, you know.
So you're like
an
ultimate insider.
You know, I just like to have fun with food.
You're not just making a barbecue. You're getting like one of the top
chefs. You know, I mean, I think it brings people together, and I think restaurants are amazing, but I think experiences that combine food and drink and spirits and theatrics can be, you know, really moving. And that's really what we're about.
UndergroundEats.com.
Yeah, please. Everyone, check it out.
And Garen, how long are you here for? You've been in New York for over a week.
It seems like a year, but we're leaving on Thursday.
So, you know what we did the other night? Jimmy's number 43. It turns out that a lot of women in America are enamored with the English accent.
Yeah, it's annoying.
So, sounds very really smart. Annoying, Jimmy. Sounds very smart.
So what you're going to do is you're going to read off these things because they basically, he went around the bar on Saturday night. And some women wrote notes, and he had to read them to them. So
Jimmy
let's start here.
Us around like a sort of
pass it over, Corey.
Monkey.
You're going to read some of the Good Beer Seal events coming up in New York City this week.
So Pretty Things Field Mouse's farewell launch at the is it Browridge?
Browry
Lane on Thursday at 7 p.m. Next Wednesday is Allagash Night at the Double Windsor, including Saison Mean, Odyssey, and more. And Beer Abroad at the Stag's Head on Saturday, June the 9th. Have some Duval, a La Chouffe, and Omegang.
I'm going to all of these just based on his accent.
That guy sounds dreamy.
And the other thing is, I don't know, is this London or New York? You know, it's cool. But this, you know, so. And the
you
same goes.
You need a British co-host at this point.
I could do that, you know, like a Brooklyn accent. Yeah. It's probably not as attractive, but I can do it.
I think we're auditioning co-hosts, so let's see. But, and you know, then, oh, the time's up. That's another part of this show. So you guys have been awesome. This is an awesome show. It's an inside look at beer. We got fans from England. We got a guy who's involved in events and a brewery in California. Corey, who's got a great little beer bar, Proletariat. And Andrew McLeod, my hero, who makes all the beer.
Jimmy,
get to Jimmy's number 43 every week.
Thank you so much, bro.
All right. So I'd like to thank our sponsors. GreatBrewers.com have helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. And also a shout out to the Good Beer Seal. Coming June 11th, tune in for the new Good Beer Seal Awards at Jimmy's number 43. Thanks to Andrew, Harrison, Corey, and Steve, and Garen for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee, Brie O'Connor, and goodbye to guest coordinator Brett Thompson, who's moving to Seattle. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
Beer
show.
Songs I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
I like beer. My wife often frowns.